we won't talk about all the songs that everybody wants to sing today, and there's still lots of us people that want to sing the old songs. And there were some friends of ours who knew we were coming from our church, and they said, "You lucky guys, you're going to get to sing all those songs, 6, 7, 8 songs every service, those old songs that are so good and so full of meaning and so deep and thought-provoking, and how they bless you." And we've just been soaking it up, and this song that Eddie chose is so great. There was a Horatius Bonar and an Andrew Bonar. They were brothers. I looked at that 6th verse. Wouldn't it be great when you guys get home, when you tell people that you were at camp, at Pilgrim Camp, and they ask you about it, you say, "Well, we just did a lot of singing." I said, "Well, what'd you all do?" "Well, we did a lot of singing, and we did a lot of waiting on the Lord, and we did a lot of praising, we did a lot of praying, we did a lot of listening, and we sang songs. And you know, the last day we sang a song with 7 verses." 7 verses? They'll just drop their teeth, you know. "Man, I like a song with 7 verses in it." I think that's the first song. You know, we've done a couple 6-verse songs and a lot of 5. But 7. Wow. Just think, if I'd have had to lead this service alone and lead this song and know all the verses by heart like Eddie knows them, I'd say, "Oh man, that would have just strained my brain so badly, and I never made it." But how beautiful they are. And I looked at that 6th verse and I thought, I've never seen the truth of that 6th verse put into words like that in the verse of a song. "We read thy power to bless and save, even in the darkness of the grave." Think of that. He's saying that the power to bless and save goes in this sense, and you read it even still more in resurrection life. "We read the fullness of thy might." Just, it's an awesome thing, and I won't take time to talk about it. Something to just meditate and cogitate and ruminate and just mull it over in your mind again and again. These songs have just gone down deep into my soul, and they've been such a blessing, and it's been so great to be here and to be in this wonderful spirit of worship and praise. Hallelujah. And I thought of a true story from the life of John Wanamaker. Wanamaker, from Wanamaker's department store in Philadelphia many years ago. He was a great philanthropist, and I don't know if that store is still there, if it's still in existence, but it's out of his life that I heard and I read this story, that when he was a boy, Philadelphia, why? He had a very fine pastor, but the pastor had, it wasn't a pet peeve, it was just a strong desire. He had a strong desire, and every time he'd come to church on Sunday morning, he'd walk from where he lived, wherever the parsonage was, at least 4, 5, 6 blocks, he'd walk. And they didn't have sidewalks and streets in those days. So many times he'd come to church and maybe have mud on his feet. And he always wished, in the secret part of his heart, he'd wished that they could have brick sidewalks and brick steps coming up to the church. And that, and you know, there's some things that as a pastor you have in your heart, you try to keep it there, but then, you know, you open your mouth on Sunday morning and it comes out, and you don't really want it to come out, but it comes out. And every once in a while he'd express that wish. He'd say, "Oh, wouldn't it be neat if we could have bricks?" It would be like when years ago we had a parking lot that was unfinished, had been filled and refilled and refilled and everything, and we used to think about it. Wouldn't it be nice if we could have this parking lot asphalted and complete and clean and nice and not drag all that stuff into church. And he kept talking about that. And John Wanamaker was just a young man of about 15. And he listened to it and he remembered that his dad, of course he knew that his dad had worked in the brickyards making bricks. And he told his dad about it and he said, you know, what do you think I could do? He said, well, what do you want to do? He said, well, I was thinking about the bricks that are second hand, they're second stuff, that they're not perfect, there's imperfection in them and some that are broken. And he said, I was thinking about the fact that you guys just throw them away. Is there any way I could come and get them? And his dad said, well, let me check. And so they found out that it was possible. And so John, as a young man, during that summer period, started working extra hard, and he asked to work with his dad a little bit so he could make some money. And he began getting these loads, load after load of these bricks that he was having set aside, and that he was going to take the responsibility of getting done. And he raised the money. And while the pastor was on vacation, he made arrangements through his father to get some men to come in and to level the area off and to build the steps and to build the sidewalk and to put sidewalk all across the front of the church on the street. And while the pastor was gone, this work was done. And finally, the pastor came home. You know how pastors are supposed to walk solemnly, you know, with hands behind them. So the pastor was walking to church, must have been walking with his hands behind him, and he was, I'm sure, thinking about his sermon. And when he got near the church, he didn't notice that he was walking on bricks. And all of a sudden, as he started up the step, he looked down and he started to smile, and he looked at those bricks and he looked at the step and the walk that led to the church and how beautiful it was all built. And he didn't say anything, and he looked, and then all of a sudden, out of the corner of his eye, he saw a head looking around the corner of the building. And it was John Wanamaker, because he wanted to see what was happening as his pastor. Did he wreck it? Did he see it, you know? And he looked over and he said, John, my boy, he said, you did this, didn't you? And a big smile broke across Wanamaker's face. And he said, you'll never know how happy you've made me this morning. And John Wanamaker said, that was the greatest feeling I ever had in my life. And I made up my mind that I would never lose that feeling. So I've been a giver the rest of my life. And I thought about that, Eddie, when I saw Matt sitting there. And I thought, you will never forget kindness and the thoughtfulness. And you know, I love that story, because it's so great, because it is better to give than to receive, isn't yes. it? Isn't it?
Amen.
It doesn't say it's easier. It says it's better to give than to receive. And the joy of giving of ourselves to others and to the camp and to ministry and above all to the Lord. How wonderful it is. It's a great feeling. You go away saying, I know that I did what the Lord wanted me to do. And there comes that joy and that peace and all His blessing into our hearts. I want to feel that way all the time, you know. Don't you?
I do.
You can say yes. It's all right. It's a wonderful feeling. And we thank you for all the ways in which you bring blessing just the hunger of your heart and the longing and desire for more of the Lord is such a beautiful thing to have in our hearts.